Amen. Well, it is good to be back with you. I've been away for the past two Sundays. I was off for the first Sunday, then last week, as you know, it was Association Sunday, where many of the pastors in our association changed churches just to see the different churches and the preach to those different congregations. And I'm so thankful for Robert from Oma preaching in the morning last week here, and Andrew from Armagh preaching here as well. Hope you are blessed by that. But it's funny when you are away for 2 weeks, you really miss just your own church and seeing faces and just preaching to you. So I'm excited again to open God's Word again with you this morning. We've been in this series entitled Important Church Practices, and we've been considering basically from Scripture why we do certain things in this church. Why we do certain things in this church. And we thought about, why we gather in person instead of simply turning on our computer screens and gathering in that way. We've thought about the importance of, preaching. Why do we open up God's Word and spend so much time hearing it in our gathering? We've thought about the importance of the Lord's table, meeting around the table. We've thought about the importance of baptism, going through the waters of baptism. And then the last time we were together, we thought about the importance of corporate prayer, why we need to be praying together as a church. But today we want to consider, as you can see on the screen behind me, the importance of church membership. The importance of church membership. Now, there can be a lot of confusion over what exactly church membership is. How do we define it? You see, is church membership simply a way to get your name on the roll of a church? Is church membership simply a way to ensure that a certain church will have a place for you in their graveyard, or that their pastor will bury you? Is church membership simply another social club that you get to come and hang out with in your weekly schedule? Not at all. Church membership is so much more than these things. Let me define church membership to you. It'll be on the screen behind me. In church membership, a local church declares that it will love and care for a believer. And a believer declares that they love the local church, they need its spiritual care, and they commit to caring for and serving others. So let me repeat that. In church membership, a local church declares that it will love and care for a believer, and a believer declares that they love the local church, need its spiritual care, and commit to caring for and serving others. Let me highlight two things from that definition. Firstly, we need to make sure that church membership is for believers only. Church membership is for believers only. Again, sadly, there's a lot of confusion about this in the church, and historically there has been, because there's many who say up and down our land or across our world who say that they are members of the church. But by that they mean that their family belong to a church, their name is simply on a roll in a church, but they have no desire to love God's people, and they have no desire of love for God himself. And that is not biblical church membership, Gordon Byrne. Biblical church membership is for believers only. For those who love Christ and have been transformed by Christ and his amazing grace. It's for those, as we were singing earlier, who can say that the Lord is our salvation. He has saved me. He has changed my life. And here in Gordon Byrne, because we're a Baptist church, we also believe that church membership is for those who are baptized as believers on profession of their faith. You see, in baptism, the believer publicly declares that they love and they follow Jesus. And that's what we had a few weeks ago in the baptismal service. Five candidates going into the water and coming up out of the water. They declare to the room that was gathered, I love and I follow Jesus Christ as my Savior in obedience to his command. And then membership, on the other hand, is a public declaration that that Christian loves the local church. That Christian loves the people of God. That Christian loves the bride of Christ. Church membership is for believers. But the second thing in that definition I want to point out is that, church membership is a two-way commitment. It's a two-way commitment. See, I sat down last night and I was thinking about just the different memberships that we or you may have in this world. Amazon Prime membership, Spotify Premium membership, football club membership, National Trust membership, gym membership, cinema membership, Tesco club card membership, frequent flyers membership, all these sorts of memberships. But what they have in common is that they are a membership of transaction. So you pay a small fee, or you sign up, and you get the perks. You get the benefits. You are a customer that these products and these companies, they have to serve. You are, customer is king or queen. And friends, that is not biblical church membership. It is not simply what the church can give you. It is not a transaction where you come in and you're passive and you sit there and you receive something and then you leave the building. Instead, church membership, as that definition shows, is a two-way commitment. The church commits to love and care for a believer. And on the other hand, the believer commits to love and serve the church as best as they can. So this morning, what I want us to do is simply, I want to provide you with four reasons why church membership is important. Four reasons why church membership is important. And you've probably already realized we've done something a little differently today. Normally, the way I preach is expository preaching. So I take a text of Scripture and I walk you through that passage first by first, word by word, explaining its meaning and applying it to your life. I think it's the most faithful way of upholding Scripture's seriousness, of dealing with the hard texts that need to be dealt with. But today I want to simply do a one-off sermon, a topical sermon, where we look at different passages to show you the importance of church membership. So keep your Bibles open, ready to turn to different passages with me. So the first reason church membership is important is because it's biblical. It's biblical. You remember this series, it's all about church practices, important church practices, and it's not about what you prefer or what I prefer. It's about church practices that need to be biblical, that need to be biblical. And the first reason, well, we do membership is because it's biblical. Now, when you read through Scripture, you never read an explicit command that says you shall become a member of a local church. Yet just because there's not an explicit command does not mean membership is not spoken about. In fact, if you go to Scripture looking for membership, you'll find it in many different places. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 with me. First place we're going to turn to, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 37. Acts 2, 37. Acts 2:37 says this, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.'" Verse 41, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So here the people repent. They're convicted over their sin. They repent of their sin. They receive the word of God. It transformed their lives. And to declare that transformation, well, they're baptized on profession of their faith. So they repent. They are baptized. But then Luke notes in verse 41 that 3,000 souls are added to the church. Here he's doing something specific. He is making a formal record of who belongs to the church at that time. It is not a record of the crowd that is gathered for that church service. Rather, it is a record of who actually belongs to the church, a formal record. And when you read throughout Scripture, you see different records and different lists of people who belong to a local church. And the point of that is that in Scripture, what we find is not simply church attenders, but people who were on a formal list and who belong to it. You can read in your own time 1 Timothy 5, but 1 Timothy 5 speaks about widows being enrolled in a church. Again, there is a formal list of who actually belongs to that local church. Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul says to the local church at Corinth, he says, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. So there's a report that's got back to the Apostle Paul that this local church at Corinth has a member who is committing sexual sin. And it's sexual immorality with his stepmom. And what Paul calls the church to do is he calls them to remove him from the church. To discipline him by excommunicating him. To discipline him by excommunicating him. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter, not to associate with sexually immoral people, not all meaning the sexually immoral of the world, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or if he's an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those who are outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So we can't go into all the details here because we're not going through this passage. But what I want you to see is that Paul makes a clear distinction that exists in this local church. Did you see the distinction? It's a distinction between those who are inside the church, who are members of that church, and those who are outside in the world. Paul says the local church has no responsibility for those who are outside the church living in sin. Responsibility meaning to discipline them. To discipline them. But the local church does have a responsibility for those inside the church. And when a believer strays and when a believer wanders into sin, Paul says they are to be disciplined for their own good with the hope of bringing them back to walk with restoration with the Lord. So there's a clear distinction here, a distinction between those who are inside the church as members on a list and those who are outside of the church who the church has no responsibility to spiritually care and discipline. And that's a pattern throughout Scripture. It's in the Old Testament as well. In Israel, there was those who were inside Israel, who were members of the nation, who were God's people. But then outside, it was the world and the outsiders. And the pattern in the New Testament is that there's these local churches with these different members who belong to these churches, who are inside, who are cared for inside the family of God. But those who are outside, the church has no responsibility to discipline or to chase after them when they wander. Now turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account, Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So here the author of Hebrews, he's writing to a local congregation of Christians. Christians who are under persecution, Christians who are struggling. Read the letter and you'll see that yourself. But here he tells them in Hebrews 13 verse 17, he says that they are to obey and submit to their leaders. Obey and submit to their leaders. And yet the question is, who are their leaders? If they were to, I don't know, get on the boat and go on a holiday to a foreign country, and they attend a local church there for one Sunday, is that the leaders that they are to obey and submit to? Well, no. It's the elders in a local church where they belong. And then Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews, goes on and says, the elders are to watch over certain souls under their care, for they will give an account to the Lord for them. And again, we have to ask the question, well, who are under the care of these leaders? To put it more specifically, in this church, the three elders who are shepherding here, who are the ones that we are to care for? Is it Christians who are living in Africa? Is it Christians who are living in America or Asia or somewhere else in the world? Are we going to give an account for them before the Lord? No. It's a set group of people. People who have committed themselves to a local church and shepherds, elders, who have committed themselves to care for a set group of people. And what we're seeing there again is that there's this distinction drawn in Scripture of those who belong to a local church and are cared for a local church and are committed to a local church and those who are not. And that is what membership is, Gordmer. It is those who have committed to a local church and a local church that have committed to members, to these members. You see, the pattern of recording who belongs, the distinction of who's inside and outside the local church, and the defined group of believers to a defined group of leaders show that church membership is biblical. So is it important? Number one, yes, because it's biblical. It's scriptural. But secondly, church membership is important because it reflects Christ's love for the local church. It reflects Christ's love for the local church. You see, earlier we read from Ephesians 5, and we noted Christ's love for his bride, the church. He loves her so much that he's given himself for her. He loves her so much that he's working in her so that she's on the wedding day, that she is spotless, pure, radiant, and glorious. When Scripture speaks about the church, Christ's bride, it uses the word to speak in two ways. One, there's the universal church, which is every single believer. All of God's people across this globe and throughout history. The universal church. But then it refers to the local church. A local gathering of his people. And Christ loves the local church. He loves his church generally, but he also loves his local church. When his church gathers here in Gortmurren, when it gathers, and we were praying for Rebecca earlier, and Nina, or whether it gathers in the Amazon rainforest in a small number, there Christ loves his local church. I want to show you this from Scripture. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Verse 11. John's being told by Christ to write a letter, and he says in verse 11, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven local churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this." Verse 20, "As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Again, there's so much in this passage I would love to unpack, but we don't have the time to do it this morning. But what I want you to realize is that Christ here, he writes a letter to each of these seven local churches in the ancient world. And before he speaks to them, he wants them to know how glorious and great he is. He wants them to know specifically that he holds them in his right hand and he walks among them. That's the description here. It's a description of how glorious Jesus is. His feet are burnished bronze. His eyes are flames of fire. His hair is white. He's strong. He's mighty. He's majestic. He's glorious. And yet he wants these churches, these small, these persecuted, struggling churches, he wants them to know that I stand in your midst and I hold you in my right hand. The point is here, Gort Murren, here is a description of Christ loving his local church. And when his local church gathers, no matter how small the gathering may be, no matter how insignificant the gathering may be from a worldly perspective, Christ is there by his Spirit. Why? Because he loves his local church. He loves the local church. Do you remember Saul was persecuting Christians, and Jesus came to him on the Damascus Road and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Because there was such a connection between Christ's people, his local church, and Christ, that to hurt his church, to persecute his church, was to persecute Christ himself. Christ is committed to his bride. And Gordon Murray, that is why membership is so important. Because in church membership, believers are declaring that they love the bride of Christ. They are reflecting his love and his commitment to the local church. And the local church isn't perfect. Obviously, someone said if there's ever find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Because we're full, we are sinners. Church is full of sinners who are messy and broken. Church is full of people who have different personalities that are going to rub against each other and cause friction and tension. And yet we are to commit ourselves to them. We are to reflect his love and commitment to them. We are to love the bride of Christ. Jesus says in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Practically, love for other believers is shown in a commitment to care for and serve them through church membership. You can't say you love God's people in the local church if you're not willing to stand up and say, publicly, I commit myself to them. See, church membership is biblical. Church membership reflects Christ's love for the local church. Thirdly, I want you to see that church membership provides spiritual care and accountability. It provides spiritual care and accountability. Turn back to Hebrews. It's only a few pages back from Revelation. Hebrews 13 again. Hebrews 13, verse 17. I'll read this passage again to you. Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So as we said here earlier, the author of Hebrews is assuming that there's a defined group that belong to a defined set of leaders. The group and the leaders have responsibility to one another. The group of members are to obey their leaders. They are to submit to their leaders. Now, we need to be careful of that, because that is not unconditional obedience. It does not mean that what the elders say, you have to go with. Because the elders can make mistakes. The elders need to be sometimes challenged. That the elders need to be held to account by the local church. But it does mean, if the elders are seeking to do what is best for the church and are seeking to honor the Lord, and there is no evil in their intention, well, you should be having a posture of a willingness to obey them, a willingness to submit to them. Your natural reflex should not be one of hostility and anti-authority. It should not be one of nitpicking and arrogance. Rather, it should be, according to Hebrews 13:17, a willingness to obey and to submit to their leadership. But then on the other hand, the leadership, well, they have the responsibility of keeping watch over the members' souls. They have the responsibility to care for their spiritual health. Note what the author says next, as those who will give an account to God. The leaders will answer to God for how they've cared for the souls under their care. You see, Gordon Martin, that is what membership's all about. It's about you as an individual Christian receiving spiritual care and accountability from a specific group of elders and also a specific group of other Christians. Last week in home group, if you were there, we thought about this. We thought about the nature of pastoral care. Who is responsible for pastoral care in this church? Is it simply me as the pastor? Is it Trevor and Paul as other elders with me? Is it the deacons? Well, yes, we are to set an example of pastoral care. Yes, we are to prioritize it. But we're not the only ones who need to be showing pastoral care, because Scripture says the pastoral care, spiritual care, is shown by the entire body of believers to one another. Galatians 6 says it this way. Paul says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, you cannot do Christianity by yourself. God does not call you to be an individual island, but he calls you to be part of his kingdom and his family. And he has designed it that you as an individual Christian will belong to a local church, and there you will receive love and care from that church. You see, there's a humility in membership. Because membership is you coming and declaring openly, I can't do the Christian life myself. I'm a sinner who struggles, and I need the help of others. I need the spiritual care and accountability of others. You're declaring, I need the spiritual direction of godly leaders. You're declaring, when I blindly fall into sin, I need the church to bring me back into the light. You're declaring, when I'm struggling to keep going with Christ, when I want to throw in the towel, I need the church to hold me, my head up. I need the care and accountability of a local group of elders and believers. That is what membership is. You see, we said earlier that membership is for baptized believers. And yet often there's this idea that it is for not baptized believers, but it's for mature baptized believers. So people, sometimes they get baptized and then they wait years until they reach a certain level of spirituality before they become members of a local church. And yeah, friends, that is not right. I would love to see baptism and membership going hand in hand together. That when we baptize someone, they're brought into membership the following week, because I believe that's right. We declare in baptism a love for Christ, and then in membership we declare a love for the local church. You see, membership is not for believers who have it all together, or for those who have reached a certain level of spirituality. Membership is for those who are striving to live the Christian life, but confess they need the help and the support of others around them. They need spiritual care and accountability. So let me ask you directly this morning, Christian, are you a member of a local church? Are you a member here of Gortmerran Baptist? If not, why not? If not, why not? Do you think that you can do the Christian life yourself? Do you think that you need to reach a certain level before you become a member? You see, you need the spiritual care and accountability of this church, so come and receive it in membership. And let me also say this. If you're a member here this morning and you're silently struggling with the Christian life, then don't struggle alone. Don't struggle alone. That's what membership's all about. It's about you opening up yourself to others. Maybe not everyone, but a trusted few, to the elders. And you're saying, I need help. I need your support, because that is how God has designed it. So allow others to invest in you. Allow others to know how you're doing spiritually. Allow others to come and draw alongside you, to bear your burdens. And let me say this also, if you are a member this morning and you feel overlooked in our congregation, and if you feel forgotten by this congregation, let me apologize to you for that. Let me ask you to reach out. Because as elders, we want to care for you. As elders, we want to spiritually love you. And yet when we know when you reach out to us and open up. So church membership, biblical, reflects Christ's love for the local church, provides spiritual care and accountability. Lastly, I want you to see, church membership is important because it enables encouragement and service. Mutual care, encouragement, and service. In 1 Corinthians 12, I won't get you to turn there, because time's beyond us now. 1 Corinthians 12, there Paul compares the local church to a human body. And he says, basically, if you injure a body part, you know about it, and you've taken it for granted. Because if your eye's sore, your vision's blurred. If your right hand's sore, which you normally write with, well, you can't write anymore. If your mouth's sore, you struggle to eat. You struggle to do those normal functions. And what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 is, he says the local church is a body. And everyone's an individual member of it. And we come together to help one another out. We all have a part to play. We all have a blessing to give to one another. You see, as I said earlier, church membership is not a transaction about you getting what you want and then leaving. Walking in the door on a Sunday morning, walking out the door, and just taking, taking, taking. But church membership is what you can give to others. It's a commitment to others. It allows you to care for and serve other believers in a way that only you can do. See, in the New Testament, you'll read many one another commandments. These one another commandments can only be truly obeyed when membership is practiced, because then we know who it is on earth we are to encourage and serve. Let me read some of them to you. Romans 15, verse 7, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Romans 12, verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. 1 Peter 4, verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Ephesians 4, 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Ephesians 4, 32, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15, see that no one repays anyone for evil, but always seek to do good to one another. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as you have received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. James 5, 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Gort Myrne, all of these commands have one thing in common. They are other-focused. They are other-focused. You see, it is not about what you can get from others. It is about what you can give and serve and bless others with. And when that is being lived out and being practiced in a church, then no one is going to be missed. Because you'll be serving and someone will be serving you. And I'll be blessing someone and they'll be blessing me. And so on and so on. Because that is how God has designed it. And that is what membership is. It enables mutual encouragement and service. Now, I'm so thankful in this church. So thankful for those who do this faithfully. Those who seek to encourage and serve others. Those who are involved in ministry in this church that others see publicly, but also ministry that is done in private that only a select few know about. I'm so thankful for that. And if that is you this morning, keep on doing it. Keep doing it. It's going to be hard. It's tough. It's sometimes tempting to think, well, if I'm the only one doing this, I should just throw in the towel because who cares? If no one's going to serve me, why would I serve others? Well, let me encourage you to keep doing it because it honors the Lord. God sees your service. But also you're setting an example. You're setting an environment of mutual encouragement and service. But I also realize that there are some in this church who are members who are sitting on the bench and you're spectating. You're looking on, you're watching everyone else get involved, everyone else invest, and everyone else play on the pitch. But you're sitting there on the bench unwilling to get on. Well, let me challenge you from God's word this morning to get involved. You see, when you became a member of this church, you promised to invest in others. You promised to encourage others, to serve others. With the busyness of life and the selfishness of sin, we can often forget those promises. And yet here's a reminder, and here's a call. Return to live out that commitment to your brothers and sisters here. Encourage, serve one another. So, Gort Myrne, is church membership important? Well, yes, because it's biblical. Yes, it reflects Christ's love for the local church. It provides spiritual care and accountability. It enables mutual encouragement and service. So let me ask you as we close, are you a member? Are you a member? Are you a baptized believer? Then why are you not a member? You've been coming here for years and even call it your church. But why are you not a member? It applies to old people. It also applies to teenagers. Teenagers, if you're a Christian, first step after that is to get baptized in profession of your faith. But then after that, join the local church. Allow the church to invest in you so you can invest in it. And if anyone wants to talk more about this afterwards, please just reach out to us as elders. You see, church membership does not save you. It does not make you more acceptable to God. But church membership will sustain you. It allows a specific group of elders and believers to keep watch over your soul. So you need to become a member. Not because it saves you, but because it will sustain you in the Christian life. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for just your word again. We thank you, Lord, for just even the ability and the freedom that we have to open up our Bibles and to search the scriptures and to flick the different passages to see what it teaches about the importance of church membership, Lord. And we thank you for the local church. And we thank you for your love for the local church. And we pray, O God, that we will show the same love to our local church by becoming members. And not simply passive members, but active members who seek to love and care for others, to encourage and serve others. And we do thank you, Lord, for just even membership is that ability to receive the spiritual care and accountability of others, and especially the elders. And I do pray, Lord, for those who may be silently struggling today, who haven't opened up, who haven't let others in. I pray, O God, that you will give them humility to do that, and give them the ability, Lord, to reach out and to seek the help of those who love them and care for them in this church, Lord. So I pray that we will be a church that is known and marked by love and care for one another, not by anger, not by judgmentalism, not by gossip, but by love, because you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.